Hot Business is powered by Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking. Recognized as the best Pan-African bank for SMEs. For tailored solutions and deep sector expertise, search Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking today.
From globalization to fragmentation, the shift to a multipolar world is more than just a geopolitical talking point. I think it's become one of the defining investment themes of our time. So as the United States retreats from its post-war dominance and countries like China, India, and I guess even Brazil assert their own economic and strategic interests, we're entering a new era where global cooperation is giving way to national competition. And I want to explore that in a little more detail with John Orford, portfolio manager at Old Mutual Investment Group, to discuss what this power shift means for inflation, for the markets, the future of the US dollar, and how investors from institutions to people like you and me, everyday savers, should respond. So John, welcome and thank you very much indeed. We've heard this term multipolar world before. In practical investment terms, what does it mean?
Yeah, I think it's you know, if we think back on the post-Second World War environment, that was a world where the U.S. came out of that pretty much unscathed and the rest of the world was in a dire situation. And the U.S. was the dominant economy and shaped many of the global institutions that were formed post the Second World War, from, you know, the United Nations to the IMF, the World Bank, World Trade Organization. Even the European Union were, you know, set up to in response to the world wars that had been experienced in quick succession and largely shaped by the U.S. And you had a period where Russia was a potential threat for a while, but that faded away. And out of that came a very global economy and a global financial market. And that was very helpful for the world economy. It grew faster on the back of global trade. Companies set up their supply chains on a global basis. The idea of just-in-time supply chains emerged. And that was, and then China joined that system and really became a very cheap manufacturing center for the world and contributed to that sort of global world. What we're seeing now is a reverse from that. So, you know, we're seeing other economies emerge and powers emerge. So China's clearly emerged as a big threat to the US's dominance. But outside of that, as the US to some extent retreats a bit from its sort of former global role, you see other regions emerging. And, you know, that's good in a sense that important, powerful economies are developing in emerging markets, etc. But there's much more scope for conflict globally, and we're seeing that in sort of the escalation of regional conflicts, whether, you know, Ukraine, Russia, the Middle East, etc., where different powers are asserting their influence, and that's fragmenting to some extent the globalized economy that we had. And I think at the same time, perhaps a backlash against the perceived sort of consequences of globalization for, you know, I don't know, perhaps the manufacturing working classes in places like the US, etc., where that's spawned a sort of a populist movement, which is quite anti-globalization. And all of that is bad news for, I'm afraid, the cost of producing things and bad news for the global economy, because you've got this retreat from globalization, you've got a retreat from multilateral approaches, which can, you know, solve problems on what's best for the world economy rather than what's best for a particular interest in a particular region.
So, John, you argue
I
then
think
that
inflation
the
will.
Well, that's exactly the point. Inflation.
So one of the key consequences is that we should get high inflation. We've lived before the COVID crisis in a world where central banks struggled to keep inflation, you know, from falling well below 2%. And now we're probably in a world where we need to think about inflation in the order of 2.5%, 3.5%, rather than sitting below the 2% level in the core developed economies. We've seen that in Japan. We've seen that in, you know, obviously the surge in inflation post-COVID. But I think it's likely to persist at a higher level. So, you know, a consequence of that is that interest rates will be higher. And, you know, we see that globally interest rates have gone up. And I don't think they're going back to the very low levels anytime
right.
soon.
So, John, strategically then, how should investors be diversifying in this world that, as you outline, is becoming more volatile, more inflation prone, and as we've discussed, more fragmented?
I think, you know, important thing is to take a long-term perspective. So remember that, you know, over 100 years of investing, we've been through lots of upheaval and change. So as a personal investor, one needs to remember that and take that longer term perspective. But it's very important, I think, to diversify your portfolio, or it makes diversification even more important. And that can be at I guess a number of different levels. The first is to, you know, diversify across geographies, across currencies, because we shouldn't expect the trend of the U.S. outperforming just to persist into the future. If some of these changes do unfold over the next 10, 15, 20 years, diversify across asset classes. So I think typically a portfolio at global level, which has been, you know, 60% equities and 40% bonds, has been a pretty good outcome for investors. But, you know, I think you need to think about holding some commodities, whether that be gold or other commodities in your portfolio, holding inflation-protected fixed income assets, which, you know, in the U.S., if you bought TIPS, for example, Treasury inflation-protected bonds, that looks much more attractive in this environment than a nominal bond where, you know, you face the threat of inflation and very high government debt levels. So diversification across asset classes, within equities, across regions and currencies, I think is very important.
Appreciate the advice. John Orford, thank you so much indeed. Portfolio manager at Old Mutual Investment Group. We'll talk again soon. Thank you.
Hot Business is powered by Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking.